Hey guys, welcome to the Luke Simons podcast. On today's episode, I am grateful enough to spend some time with Jordan Vella. He is the owner of Bread. You might have seen Bread around social media. It is this movement that's going on with pretty much fitness apparel. And Jordan, thanks for jumping on, man.
Hey Luke, hey, thanks for having me. And hello to any other listeners that are tuning in right now.
Mate, yeah, thanks for spending some time with me, dude. I wanted to get you on for a long time. This is actually our second take, actually, because first time, his phone cut out. So we're doing this again. We're filming again. But yeah, I appreciate you spending a little bit more extra time with me on this because I want to kind of get the word out around Bread. But before I kind of go a little bit more into the brand and how to kind of start up a brand like yours and how you build the culture and how do you kind of get the ideas for the ones that you're currently kind of doing, give me a story around kind of giving me a little bit of an introduction around yourself and the story of the creation around Bread.
Yeah, sweet, man. So obviously I've been working in the health and fitness industry for about 6 years now. I've been PTing for quite a while. So I've been PTing for that whole time. And about a year and a half ago, I kind of wanted to find something that allows me to impact more people than what PT does, because obviously you're limited with how many people you can see face-to-face doing PT. And I wanted a way to be able to impact more people, right? So I thought that apparel would probably be the best way to go about this. And once I started researching on how to create a apparel brand and learning how to source stuff and all that kind of stuff, I started to really fall in love with running the business, and I pretty much gave it 100% from the start. I scaled back down my PT a little bit and really gave Bread 100%. So yeah, basically the idea started just between me and some mates. It was kind of a saying that we used to say in my last competition prep. And we used to always say, oh, let's get this Bread whenever we train, stuff like that. And it kind of just caught on between friends of friends and people around in my gym. And then I was like, you know what, this is a perfect opportunity to start that apparel company that I wanted to start and start impacting more people. And yeah, pretty much just grew from there. Obviously it's quite an odd name. And a lot of people ask me, that's the first question they ask me is, why did you call it Bread? But there's not much to it. It was kind of just started from me and some mates. And yeah, I thought it could really catch on.
No, I love it, man. And obviously I noticed it a lot around the gym, and I fell in love with it as soon as I saw it. Cause I thought it was just such a funny kind of like, let's jump on this bandwagon. I was probably one of the first people to jump on that. Cause I was like, this is so funny, man. And I was like showing it with all my mates, and I bought like the first few tops that you've released. And, you know, I'm always staying up to date with what you're getting. Cause it's just like the mentality. It's not just a clothing, it's not just a t-shirt, it's more than that in a sense. It kind of represents a lot more than, it kind of says, hey, I'm a part of a group that, you know, works their ass off doing X, Y, and Z, depending on what you're in. Like, yeah. Are you in the fitness scene? Are you doing a competition, or are you an entrepreneur? Are you doing X, Y, and Z? So I kind of love the mentality around it and what it actually means. And I kind of think that you, from the story that you kind of described, kind of, you kind of fell into that culture in a sense of like, it was kind of just between you and a couple of mates, and then it kind of spread into something else that you weren't really expecting it to.
Yeah, for sure. It was almost like it was contagious, you know. It was, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I made a few shirts and everyone wanted to buy them, and it was kind of like a domino effect. It just kept growing. And I picked up on it quickly that it was definitely more than just a brand. And I kind of felt that was the way it was going anyways, because I didn't pick a name that kind of represented, I don't know, hard work, or, you know, how people start brands and they have that typical like gym wear name. And, you know, obviously Bread was so left center to that. And I knew that community was going to build the brand. It wasn't going to build by doing, you know, sponsored ads, because people have no idea what Bread means, and, or just like outside marketing. It was going to grow from the people wearing it. And I've always believed that people sell to people. And yeah, I really just honed in on that kind of marketing side of it and said, you know what, like, my community will grow my brand for me. I just have to look after my community. So yeah, I made sure, obviously this year I really want to bring out a lot of different stuff and explore different parts of the apparel game, but I kept it really simple at the start. And you know, I had like, you have one of the shirts, it's so simple, man. Just literally bread on the front, but the community sold it, and it's just multiplied from there.
What's when you're going through your researching at the start, was it complex? Was it tricky? Was it easy when you're doing a bit of research around that sort of stuff? Like, do you have any tips for people who are wanting to do research around starting their own brand?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, because I do get that question a lot, and I get a lot of PTs asking for my help to get their own custom apparel made and stuff like that. And it was just, it was really self-taught, to be honest. How I actually start, and I don't think I've actually told many people this, was there's a guy in my gym that had his own printer, right? And it was just like, you know, it was just like one of those old, what do they call them? Like, I don't know, it's just like one of those ink printers, right? I can't remember what they're called. And we printed like a few shirts before my first, before my last competition. And then obviously I was like, you know what, this is not viable to go around to my mate's place from the gym to print shirts every single time I want shirts, right? So then I grew to a supplier over in Melbourne, and that was literally just search on the internet, said, you know, printers within Australia. And I found them, and then obviously I realized that wasn't viable either, because it was quite expensive per shirt and I wasn't making much profit margin. And then obviously eventually I went to overseas. You know, there's great resources out there, places like Alibaba, like you can literally get any supply you want. You just have to be smart about it, and obviously source the right suppliers, and you know, even search up where their factory is and how they run and stuff like that. And yeah, if you really want to learn, you can teach yourself easily. You just have to be like pretty specific with what you want, what type of apparel you want, and be smart about what suppliers you go to, because obviously you can definitely get rewarded, that's for sure.
Yeah, oh, definitely, man. I think a lot of people, because I know a friend who, you know, has gotten, you know, their money, you know, pretty much stolen from China when they were trying to start up. But like, that's a learning, it's a lesson to be learned. Do your research, do your due diligence, make sure you know what you're doing and what you're getting, test, trial, all that sort of stuff. And I guess testing and trialing comes into my next question is, obviously, I've wanted to ask this, and I asked you this in the first episode, but how the hell do you, being a male, figure out what females want and how to shape clothing to them?
Yeah, it's a really good question as well, because obviously I have absolutely no idea about female gym wear, but obviously being lucky enough to work in gyms ever since I was 17, I've been around it, and I work with some amazing female PTs, and I know a lot of people in the industry. So I just spent the time to talk to people. That's all I did, just spent the time to talk to heaps of my friends that train and go, you know what, like, what do you look for in a good pair of like pretty shorts or sports bra? And what, like, you know, what type of fit do you like? What colors suit you? And I really just ask a lot of questions. I the biggest thing with Bread is I never treated it like I knew everything. I treated it like, okay, I created this community. Now, how can I bring what they want? And I always try and give the people who buy from me what they want, not what I think is best. If that makes sense. So just heaps of engagement on social media as well. Obviously asking people in person, but using social media, using tools like polls and trying to get as much feedback as I can. Obviously that feedback becomes better as the community grows. So when you first start, you don't have a lot of customers. So a lot of it is what you think is best. But after a while, when you start building a good customer base, then you can just kind of get your feedback from them. But yeah, just obviously being willing to sample and trial stuff, be willing to lose money getting samples. That's all part of the game. You just have to stay patient and make sure you don't rush it, because I see a lot of people rush, especially things like sports bras and stuff. Like, if you get bad quality sports bras and you go order 100 and you sell them, that's 100 customers you'll never get back, because they're probably going to break in the first few weeks and stuff like that. So you have to be really, really onto it and be willing to lose a little bit of money, but obviously in the long run, it will pay off.
Love it, man. So I love how you're saying ask questions and don't kind of expect that you know everything. I think that's a great point for people if they're thinking about starting a brand or, you know, doing something by themselves, is like ask questions, see what they want. You know, go to the marketplace and ask, hey, what problem are you facing? You know, what do you kind of want to see in the marketplace? And then develop a program, or not, sorry, not a program, but like an apparel company, depending. You can literally do this for program. You do it for everything. Any business, it's exactly the same thing. Yeah, as you go to market and you say, hey, what do you want? Like, and I'm going to supply it.
Yeah, 100%. Because obviously any business, well, most businesses are there to solve a problem, right?
Yeah.
Now, obviously with bread, that's a little bit different because I guess there's no real problem I'm solving because there are a lot of great apparel brands out there. But my main basis is just to add something different to the market in regards to community. But yeah, you just have to you have to see it as, okay, like what do people want and what problems can I solve and how can I create that? And that goes with any business. As soon as you start a business thinking you know everything, that's how you can really go down a dark hole. And same as even things like PT. You never want to start PT thinking you absolutely know everything because you'll never stop. You'll stop learning and you'll cut yourself off from opportunities and you won't continue to try and be the best.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of, you forfeit greatness in a sense because you're just kind of like, oh, I kind of know everything. Your ego gets big and you stay stagnant and then you kind of just cruising for a long time. You know, it happens with every business. You know, if you get some sort of success, you kind of always want to kind of grow, reinvest, all that sort of stuff. And that's kind of how I've seen my business starting from the get-go, you know, four and a half years ago now, where it was like everything that I had, everything that I'd gotten that was a profit, it went straight back in, not like reinvesting in. How do I get better angles? How do I get better editing? X, Y, and Z. So I guess you probably did exactly the same thing. You probably did like one launch. And then did you determine this, like, when was it? Say you did one launch. Like, were you just like, yes, wait, then I can reinvest all the money that I got from that launch? Or was it kind of like you were still in the hole negative and then you had to kind of reinvest a little bit more to get to the next stage? Or was it like from the get-go, you're like sick, like I can start going and reinvesting more and more?
Yeah. Actually, interesting question. So obviously, even to this day, I've barely pulled any profits out of it.
Yeah.
Barely any. And the profits that I have pulled out of it goes into the business anyways, right? So let's just say like that first launch, I made X amount of dollars. All that went back into the next launch, plus some more of my own money. Because obviously, let's just say I sold 30 shirts, my next one I sold 50, then 70. You're going to obviously make up the difference of that 30 shirts. So obviously with like the profit margin that you get, but where people go wrong is that they don't understand that they have to invest money into the marketing side of things, right? Even small things like, you know, making sure your website is on point, you got banners and stuff when you do pop-ups, when I do pop-ups in gyms, the marketing side of things is massive. So you have to be willing to put your money that way as well. And that's why it's, you know, over a year, what's like been like 15, 16 months and I still haven't pulled much profits from it. But that's part of the game, as you know. And yeah. I'm willing to ride it out until I get to that stage where I can start, you know, living off it in a way.
I know when me and you had to sit down, we had a coffee one time. We spent a bit of time together kind of going through the strategy and marketing of bread. That was a while ago now. And the kind of what we came across or we came out of it was there was a few things that we could focus on in a sense, but just having, spent like marketing is key, but this it's all about what marketing you're doing. And kind of with your brand, what we wanted to get across was, hey, like we don't need to be spending money on advertising on cold traffic, you know, because right now what we can do is we can grow this organically. And so what we did was we focused a lot of our marketing, your marketing efforts was primarily organic and word of mouth. In a sense, and just like the marketing you spent was on branding and banners. So when you were at a location, because you were with your business model, you're going to convert a hell of a lot more long-term customers, lifetime customers through face-to-face, because it's you're that type of person anyway. You're that type of person that like people get attracted to in terms of your energy, your persona, and whatnot. Whereas some other brands, what they do is they kind of they're backed by X, Y, and Z investors. They get thousands and thousands of shirts ready and then they just spend thousands of dollars on marketing and cross their fingers and hope for the best, where what you're doing is you're building a long-term brand that's going to, you know, stand the test of time in a sense. And we're kind of capturing that along the way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like a lot of people think that there is only one way to start a business, and that way is to start with a lot of money behind you and just creating heaps of different products and trying to dominate the market that way, where that doesn't have to be the only way to start a business. And obviously the way I'm doing it, like 100%, it's going to take me longer to pull profits from it and longer to make enough money to start living off, right? But I know for a fact that long term is going to pay off for me, because I'm going to have customers for years to come, and I'm going to build that trust in every single person that, you know, if they just say they have $50 spare at the end of the week, would they rather buy a shirt off me or would they rather buy a shirt off Gymshark? And after a while, they're going to want to buy a shirt off me, because they feel that connection to community, where it's like, you know, Gymshark, a multi-million dollar business, and there's not much connection there. They just make great apparel, obviously. So it's just two different business models. And obviously mine is low cost to start with, but a lot more time is needed to invest in it. Like even just sitting there and replying to DMs on my phone, sitting there and having conversations with people in the gym, going to do pop-ups at gyms. And, you know, I've been to pop-ups where I've made like two sales. You know what I mean? I was there for 2-3 hours, made two sales, but like, that's just all part of it. You just have to be willing to put in the hours, and in the long term, you reap the rewards.
Love that, dude. And I think I have a really good question coming up, but I think it's, you know, it's going back to the whole example of Gymshark. And, you know, say I'm out and about, right? I'm at Carousel and I see someone wearing a Gymshark. What does that mean? It means nothing to me. I'm like, oh yeah, just another one. And then, but if I was walking through Carousel and I saw Bread, you know, obviously anyone who's purchased a Bread shirt, and if they see another person wearing Bread, I think it's a little bit more, it's way different. Cause you're like, you're part of kind of the tribe. You're part of us. Like you're part of, like, we're in it together in a sense. I think I have that connection with your brand more than anyone else, like, that I've ever bought from, which is pretty cool in a sense. I don't know if everyone feels like that who's purchased a t-shirt from you, but if I saw a Bread, which I have done, and I like smiled at them and like done the thumbs up, like, it's kind of cool to see that, where I've never had that experience before ever with a brand that I've purchased a t-shirt from.
And that, obviously my goal is to make that even more that what you just said, like, more frequent. But yeah, like I had someone come up to me the other day, and obviously I work out of Canningvale Raw, so most of my hours and day are spent here, but obviously I go to the other Raw sometimes and other gyms. And someone came up to me, they're actually a member of Revo, and they were like, came up to me, and obviously, you know, I don't work there or anything. So the impact there isn't as great as the Raw Fitnesses, but they were like, I just have to let you know that whenever I'm in this gym, like 9 times out of 10, there's always someone wearing a bread shirt or Bread sports bra or something. And I was like, man, that hits so differently, you know what I mean? Because obviously they're so aware of it. Like if they see someone else wearing Bread, they're like, oh, like, you know, you wear the same stuff as me and you're part of the same community.
Yeah, bro.
So it's not until someone makes me aware of it, because obviously I don't see it with my own two eyes. It's not until someone makes me aware of it where it's like, man, like, I am making an impact now.
Man, I was at Good Life Coburn, and I was having conversations with people there around, because I was actually filming someone there. I was filming there with a client and I was wearing Bread shirt, and I had like two people come up to me and talk to me about Bread. It was like, oh, is this Bread? Is this Jordan Bella's brand? Blah, blah, blah. So like, it was awesome. Obviously there's probably dozens of those interactions all the time that we don't tell you about.
Yeah, that I wouldn't even know about. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I'm going to get on the phone and be like, Jordan, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, exactly.
you've got better things to do, but yeah, I think it's kind of cool. And I think people listening up, I think I'm going to ask a question that a lot of people have on their mind is, like, do you have any tips for branding? So like, you know, how did you kind of, in terms of branding, I mean, like the feel of the brand, but also how do we keep that culture within the brand as well? Like you didn't scale up heaps, you know, are you tight on like what people say or how people wear things? Like, how do you kind of keep the culture within the brand?
Yeah. So that's, I think I definitely go about this a different way, because this goes back to the asking questions thing, where I'm not closed off at all about what I'm wanting to do. And there's two ways to go about it, because I feel like if you are open with, you know, what your next launch is going to be, I feel like that creates hype organically. You don't need to hype it up through, you know, sponsored posts and stuff like that. Like, people will start going, okay, like, this is what he's going to bring out. I can't wait to see what it looks like. I can't wait to buy it. And it kind of creates hype that way. So I'm always very open with what I'm working on and what projects I'm working on. And in regards to kind of the branding, obviously being very community-based, I didn't want to create any products that were really out there and really different. I wanted to always create things that I felt like everyone could wear. So obviously down the track, I'll start doing more specific products. But right now, just nailing down like the neutral colors that everyone loves, and using our logos, you know, the same logos that I've used from the start. And then, yeah, just trying to really just create clean apparel that everyone can wear. And obviously the apparel is the part that sells people.
Yeah, I love that. And what about, like, have you done much in terms of like culture, in terms of, because I know we've got an online group. So say if you purchase a bread piece of clothing, like, you can go into this group and people kind of communicate within that Facebook group. Is there like kind of not like rules, but just like, because I want to kind of get across to, say, someone who's starting another brand, right? And they're just kind of, or even a gym or even a company, and what they're doing is they're struggling to find, like, to keep the culture consistent, like, and keeping it like on par and on brand. Like, have you ever experienced like any misleading kind of direction off the brand, or has it kind of been a straight road?
Yeah, it's been very, it has been a straight road, to be honest, because law of attraction, right? I feel like the right type of people get attracted to my brand.
Yeah.
Just because of the type of content I put out. And, you know, you look at the page and we have like 100 different people on that page. It's not the same people. They're not just models. They're not just people doing photo shoots. Like, some photos are taken off a camera, just a phone camera. Some are obviously professional shoots. Some are taken off my little $500 camera. Like, so people, it attracts the right type of people to the brand. And I feel like I haven't really had any problems with that.
That's awesome. And
yeah, people just, the right type of people that see the community and see what we're all about, and just trying to bettering ourselves in any type of way. And that's what I love about it as well, is as time's gone on, it's gone away from health and fitness a little bit, and it's gone just towards the pure fact of people wanting to be better, whether that's through business or self-development in any type of way. I try and send out regular emails to everyone who's brought a piece of bread merch, and you know, I try and pump a lot of self-development type stuff there, and just try to create that whole community around trying to be better each and every day.
Yeah, man, I think I definitely take it on board more for business and entrepreneurship and just working in a business. I think that's kind of where I get that motivation from, is through bread, like, rather than say the training style, which is cool, because I think like it's the same sort of person, the same sort of drive. So it's pretty much the what you're projecting out there, which then kind of comes into obviously the next setup, which will be content creation. So it's like, in terms of content, like, you got to be smart with your content to kind of push the right things. You know, you can't just have someone parked up on a couch eating Ben and Jerry's, watching TV, wearing a bread top. That would defeat the purpose. So like, talk to me about content creation and using social media to kind of create that brand.
Yeah. So I've obviously learned a lot in the last 14, 15 months, and I learned a lot from you yourself. And I love the content side of things. That's always, obviously, that's a way for me to express my creativity. But I've always been a massive believer that people create my content for me. So yeah, 100%. I'll go out and do shoots every probably 2 or 3 weeks. I just, you know, on a Saturday, I'll message someone who's part of the community or brought something and said, hey, like, let's catch up here, take some photos. But most of the time, I literally have my customers taking content for me, whether they take a photo of themselves in the gym, someone takes a photo of them. That's how I've always created my content. And I think I've paid for 2 pieces of content ever in 14, 15 months. Or everything else is either created by myself or created by someone of the brand. And I've literally paid for nothing else. I paid the two pieces of content I paid for were videos that I was out of my scope and no way I was going to be able to make them. But other than that, it's all consumer created content. And as you've seen from a lot of the most successful businesses, even just within Perth, probably think of like Dan Ekber is a great example. Like his story smashed with all his clients. You know, Revo and Raw do it well with their stories on Instagram. It's consumer created content that really sells because people sell to people.
Yeah, user-generated content.
User-generated content, exactly.
UGC, that's the word you're looking for.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
But that's lovely. So like focusing on a strategy around user-generated content where it's like, hey, how can we kind of, because that's exactly you, when I jumped on board, it was just like, okay, sick, now I got to take a photo with my stuff and then share that because it's going you got to kind of like, especially if you're following the bread kind of socials, which I highly recommend you go and follow them. It's JV Bread, hey?
JV Bread Apparel, yeah. But if you type in bread, it'll come up straight away.
Yes, because no one else has got bread.
Socials, yeah.
He's definitely not running a bakery kind of social media. So if you find one a bakery, that's not him. It's it's apparel. So sweet, man. So what are the goals for bread moving forward, man? Like, where do you see it in the next few years, bro?
Yeah. So 2021 hopefully is gonna be a big year for us. And I really want to invest even more money into the brand. So our next big thing that I'm focusing on is actually our bread event for this year. So we have an event on next month on the 20th, and it's just a way to get everyone that who has purchased from bread into the community, into the same spot at the same time. And obviously the goal of the bread event is to have other people meet each other, not just have an online presence, but actually have a face-to-face presence. And so that's in that's still in the planning stages. So that's coming up soon. I can't wait for that. And at the same time, I'm going to do another launch as well. So yeah, the goal for this year is obviously that's the first thing to tick off the bucket list. And then after the event is done and dusted, then really focus on having a minimum of like 6 to 8 products on the website at a time. Because I've actually, which is a great problem to have, I'm always getting people asking for products that I don't have in stock, because obviously everything sells out quite fast. So the goal is to have 6 to 8 products that are constantly on the website, and then just bring out limited launches from there to kind of create urgency when we do bring out new products. So that's the goal there, is just to keep creating really good apparel, keep diving into the women's range a little bit more. Obviously that's a big challenge for me, but I'm really enjoying it, and hopefully I can nail some good pair of leggings and stuff like that coming in 2021.
Love it, man. Do you have any final, where can people, okay, if someone wanted to jump on to the event, right, on the 20th of February, hey?
Yeah, 20th of February. Yeah.
How does someone get on that?
Yeah, sweet. So I'm pretty sure it is public on Facebook, so you can type in Bread Event 2021. Or the link is in my bio at Jordan Vella on Instagram. And then it's in the bio of the JV Bread Apparel as well. So you just click that, takes you to Megatix, and then you can buy a ticket. It's only $30 to come, but obviously you have a bar tab and stuff like that. So it's going to be a really, really good night.
Where is
everyone
it?
Everyone who comes. So we're still trying to finalize locations. It's either at Cottesloe Beach Hotel, or a place called the Flower Factory, as funny as that is, in the city. So yeah, we're just trying to find it because hopefully we have a couple hundred people there. So I'm just trying to find a place that's big enough. But yeah, that's going to be finalized in the next few days. So, but you can hop on the event.
I'm going to have to jump on and get me a ticket.
So you're going to have to come.
I'm going to have to.
I'm going to be about 6 weeks out from comp, so I'm not going to be the best party animal at that time. That's
all right. Oh, no. But so are you prepping now?
Yeah. So I'm 12 weeks out. 12
How you weeks feeling? Out
Saturday. Sorry?
How you feeling?
It's only in the last week that it's starting to really hit me, but this time, obviously, this is my third prep. So things get easier every single time you prep because you just know what to expect. And yeah, obviously my schedule is quite busy at the moment. So it's good because I have no option. Like, I have to train at the same time every day, have to do my cardio. So I'm really enjoying it so far. It's probably been the easiest prep so far, but obviously the hard times have come. So yeah, that's the goal. My goal is to just prove to people that you can run, you know, multiple businesses and prep at the same time. There's no reason why you can't. It's just all about priorities.
You're a better man than me, that's for sure. I would never do a prep when running this business. I'd forget too many gigs, man, and I'd forget too much. Oh man, it's dangerous. But thanks, Jordan. I appreciate you spending some time together on the podcast, man. I'm definitely gonna have to show up at the gig. Guys, if you don't know, just go on Facebook, type in Bread Event 2021, or even on Instagram, search them up, search Jordan up, Jordan Bella, and also JV Bread Apparel on Instagram. There'll be links below this podcast if you want to check out his apparel range, but also social media. I highly recommend you follow him and also the Bread brand, because it's going to be a big thing coming in the next few years. Trust me. So thanks, Sean. I appreciate your time today, bro.
Thanks so much, man. And thank you to anyone who tunes into this. It's good to be able to kind of express the brand and where it's going. And hopefully some of you guys jump on board and come see what we're all about. But yeah, I appreciate you taking the time to have me on your podcast.
Man, everyone needs to show up to this event, because I'll be there. And yeah, if you listen to this, yeah. We all got to go. We got to show up with our LS/Bread shirt. It's going to be a joy. All right, man. Cheers, Jordan. Have a good one,
bro. Thank you, man. Have a great day.